To confer you the sacrament of confirmation. But before doing so, let's have some thoughts about what's happening. And let's start with this. God has created us. What does God do when He creates? We know that the creation, He did it without anything. So He just created out of nothing. Just wanted things to be, and they are. And that's true for everything. The minerals, the stars, the planets, the universe, the water, the plants, the animals, us. But we don't reflect enough that this act of creation is an act of love. God created because He loves. But you see, already there, we see an enormous difference between God and us. We love when we see something good. As long as we don't recognize something as good, we don't love it. But we see, oh, that's good, we love it. For God, it's the contrary. Because He loves, He puts goodness in what He creates. And this goodness will be something of His perfection. And so, in any creature, you will see some beauty, something lovable, because God has put it in there. And that's the way we say that the whole creation is glorifying God, because all this beauty is talking to us about God. You may remember Saint Ignatius. He was walking, he had a stick in his hand, and he was looking at flowers, and he talked to the flower saying, be quiet, I know of whom you talk. And so we say the whole creation is like an open book who talks to us about God. And of course, the most perfect creatures have received a higher perfection. But looking at us, let's try to see how far it goes. What kind of perfection God wants to put in us human beings? First, we read that at the very beginning of the Genesis, that God has created us at His image. So that means we are like a little mirror of God. And we can see that, for example, that God has given us a spirit. God is a spirit, and He has given us a spirit. And with that spirit, He has given us a tremendous faculty. We call it intelligence. We can know spiritual things. And He has given us another faculty by which we can decide, we can want, we are free. Only the angels And we have that freedom. The animals, they have a kind of freedom, it is true, that makes that they can decide and behave a little bit strange sometimes, because they have a certain freedom, but they can never understand the why. Why? We look at little children, they start to ask at a certain moment their dad and mom, why? Why is the sky blue? Why this? Why that? Only a spirit can do that. Only a spirit can see the beauty. If you are in front of a sunset, just looking at it, it fills your heart. Why? Because you recognize its beauty, its bow, its beautiful. And now this beauty enters in you. You enjoy it. You're full of joy. An animal will never be able to have that, because you need an intelligence and a will. Look at a dog in front of the sunset or in front of a beautiful picture. Nothing. He's not able to. But he has given even more to these spirits. For example, he has given to some of them, not all of them, power. Superior. They can command. It's only God who can command. But he wanted that human beings be organized in society, and you have all kinds of little organization, and everywhere you have some people who command, some people who obey. It's one of the highest thing which we find in God, to command, to have authority. And look, for example, in the family, mom, dad, they have authority on the children. It's an example. But for us human beings, he wanted to bring the perfection to an unthinkable degree. Of us, he wants to make his children really. It will be by adoption, but it's real. He does that at baptism. He does pour in us a real participation to his life, and he gives us special capacities. We call that the virtues, by which we can act like God, infinitely higher of man. But for this, you must have the grace. You must be in what we call in the state of grace. Those who do not know the church, who do not know Jesus, who have not received that grace, they can do something good. They know a lot of things, science and so on, yes. And even they can love, but it remains human. Only those who are in the state of grace are elevated at his level. We have to go even further. Even further. He wants us to be saved. He wants us to go to heaven. She even wants us to help him to bring others to heaven. Something which is absolutely, uniquely his property. Nobody can put in a heart the sanctifying grace but God. No creature can do that. It is so high, it is so godly that only God can do that. And that's absolutely true. Every time, it starts with baptism, every time you receive that grace or an increase of that grace, God must come. He's there. He's doing the job in your heart every time. But at the same time, he wants creatures to work with him. We will call that instrument. And the first thing we need to worship God. He's our creator. We are in absolute dependency of him. So we must adore him. We must worship him. We have to bring our hearts there. But how far does it go? As human, we can do that. But with the character of baptism, Saint Thomas will say, he is deputating us to the worship of God. I will try to tell you, to explain you how it works. Jesus is God. God who assumed a human nature. And so he is true God and true man. With that, he is the high priest. The priest is a mediator. Mediator is the one who stands in the middle, in between. And as Jesus has both the divine and the human, he's the perfect one who can stand in the middle. So he's the perfect mediator. And God, the Father, is going to send him because we poor human beings, with our freedom, we have broken everything. We have disobeyed. Our first parents have demolished God's plan on us. His plan was that we would be in paradise. No suffering, no death. Some tests, yes, some trials, no suffering. And the grace would have been transmitted just by generation. The parents who give us the life, the human life, they would have given at the same time the divine life. But this treasure, which was like a fortune, they have lost. And so we can no longer receive this heritage. On the contrary, what we receive is a debt, terrible debt. We call it the original sin. Because God has been offended, it must be repaired. God is infinitely just. He cannot tolerate anything that would hurt his majesty. It must be repaired. And man cannot repair. If God the Father would not have sent his Son, we would have been lost. forever. But once again, He loves us. He does not want things to finish like that. And so He did not wait for us to come back to Him and to say, I regret. He did the first step. It is St. Paul who explains that. He says, for a saint, for a just, hardly we would be ready to give our life. For a saint, yes. But for a criminal, who is ready to do that? Give your own life to spare a criminal? Never. You say, yes, that's good. Be punished. If you don't believe me, look at how we behave with a mosquito. When we see that mosquito attacking us, what do? Do we say, oh, beautiful creature of God? No. We condemn that little beast to death. And we call for the immediate execution. And if we get it, we are happy. If we miss it, we're not. That's how we behave. Can you imagine that someone would say, a big friend of you, yes, the mosquito deserves that punishment, but I want it to live. Give to me that punishment. We would say, you're crazy. That God has done for us. He has asked His Son to take our place in the punishment. Only God can do that. That's what He did. To give to us an immense, immense perfection. It's only Him who dies on the cross. It's only Him who pays for us, who redeems us. And nevertheless, He wants us to join Him. And this happens thanks to the character of baptism. The Mass is exactly the sacrifice of our Lord on the cross. And you can be there at Mass. And you are not just a spectator. No. Jesus wants you to be with Him. It's so true that all the fruits of the Mass, which are, listen well, an infinite adoration. There's absolutely nothing which limitates the adoration that comes from the altar, like on the cross. We have an infinite person, divine person. The worth of His adoration as man is infinite. It is worthy of God. And Jesus gives you this act so that you, through the priest, can offer to God an adoration which is worthy of God, because His sacrifice becomes yours. That's what the priest says at every offertory. When he says, Orate fratres, he says, pray, brethren, ut meum ac vestrum sacrificium, that my sacrifice, which is your sacrifice, be pleased to God. Of what does he speak? He speaks of the Mass. which is the sacrifice of our Lord. And the church wants us to say, it's my sacrifice. Why? Because Jesus has given it to us so that we may offer to God something worthy of God. Remember Fatima. Remember this prayer from the angel to these little children. They say, Most Holy Trinity, I offer you the most precious body, blood, soul, divinity of Jesus. You can only offer what is yours. You cannot offer what is the next, the neighbor's. No, it must be yours. And it is, thanks to the character of baptism. And so, you're one. You are one with the heavenly liturgy, every Mass, all the angels, all the saints, and Jesus, of course, more than anybody, is there, and we are there too. That's how high it goes. That's the baptism. You know that there are two other characters, and one you receive today at confirmation. The third one is for the priest. The third one is enabling the priest to act as the divine priest in his person. It goes so far that the priest is going to look at the host and he will say, This is my body. And he does not want the host to become his body. No, he wants it to become the body of Christ. But he does not say this is the body of Christ. He says my body. Because at that very moment, he's so one with Jesus that his words, his intelligence, his tongue, they belong to Jesus. He's an instrument also, you see. So, let's go back to the second character, the one you received today. You have learned in your catechism that today you become soldiers of Christ. Because this work, this cooperation with our Lord will happen in a fight. We have enemies and they don't want us to do that job. They will attack us. But God is with us. But nevertheless, because of that fight, He sends you today the third person of the Holy Trinity, the Holy Ghost. He will be with you. He wants to be with you all the time up into heaven. We may use the word visit, but it's much more than a visit. He comes to stay. In fact, if you reflect a little bit from baptism, you are already temple of the Holy Trinity. Yes, you heard it? You're like a tabernacle. God loves you so much that He wants to make of you His house. More than that, dwelling in you, He communicates to you His life. He's in you. And you heard it. We just sung it. We said, Come, We said, come, Holy Ghost, veni, Creator Spiritus. How can we say, come? He's already there. And I may say, this question may help us to understand a little bit better the sacrament of confirmation. Yes, we can say, come, though he's already there. Why? Because today, this second coming means that he wants to have with you a very special relation, a new. Up to now, he did not have it. From now on, he will. And that's why today he comes with the gifts. But before we go to the gift, let's go back a little bit to the character. I told you, you become soldiers. It's that character that makes you soldiers. This character, you receive it because God wants you to defend the church, to defend the faith, to protect those who are only baptized. He wants to put in you so much strength, that solid, firm, you're like a soldier. He sends you. Send you into this world at your place. You don't need to be anything else than what you are. That's fine, that's good. But nevertheless, where you are, at your place, you have to work to save souls. He wants you. I told you, it's only Jesus who can save souls. And nevertheless, he wants you to save souls. And it goes so far. He trusts you so much that that salvation would depend on you. If you behave, they will be saved. If you don't, they will be lost. Again, remember Fatima, the Blessed Virgin Mary said, there are so many souls who go to hell because nobody prays and does sacrifice for them. If you pray, do sacrifices, you do your duty of state, you will save souls. You will. And let me show you how it works. Because it's beautiful. It's really marvelous. Now, this character is also making you an instrument, but a special instrument in the hands of the Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit. Look how it works. Look what happens when you read the life of a saint. You read that book, and suddenly your heart is full of joy, full of courage. You like it. You would like to do the same. Just reading that book. What is happening? Well, when you read it, when you read these beautiful examples, the Holy Ghost is using that and pushes you in you a grace. And he wants you to do exactly the same. I'll give you an example. It will help you also to understand why we call it a fight. We call you soldiers. And how it works. The sign of the cross is the sign of the Christian. And, for example, when you enter the church, you start with holy water, you make the sign of the cross.
And during the Mass, you make quite a number of these signs of the cross, but everybody does it, does not cost anything, and it's easy. We do it. Easy, it's our life. Now, let's suppose we go out. Let's suppose we go into a restaurant. When you go there, it's to eat. And the Christian, before eating, starts with a prayer. And the prayer, we start with the sign of the cross. Do you know why in the restaurant there are so few Christians who do that sign of the cross? I will tell you why. Because we are at war. The devil, the world, know perfectly that if the Christian do their job, they will win souls. And so they put pressure on us constantly. They make us fear. We call that fear human respect. Don't do that. What are the others going to think if you do that? You're going to offend these people around you. No, don't do that. We fear. Most of the time, we become ashamed. Our face turns red. And it starts on the forehead. And that's why today the church wants to give you the medicine, starting by marking your forehead with the sign of the cross. Now look what happens if I do that sign of the cross. If I overcome that fear, that pressure. I told you, with this sacrament today, we become instruments of the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost is going to take that sign of the cross and he's going to transform it into a spring of graces, so that these people around us, all of them, they will be touched by a drop of grace. This grace is an invitation from God to think at God, to do the same, or even better. You know, I like this image, this little story. Why? Because it happened to me many times, really many times, that after the confirmation, people come to me and tell me of their story. Something like that. And really, I have many stories. Someone tells me, I know someone. He was a pagan. He was sitting in a restaurant. At a certain moment, he saw someone make the sign of the cross. And because of that, he converted. A simple sign of the cross in the hands of the Holy Ghost is enough to convert. Convert, that means take out, take away from eternal damnation. Take out of the claws of the devil and bring him into heaven. It's enormous. That's what he wants you to do. Each one of you. And you will have to face these attacks, because it's not just the restaurant, it's every time we deal with others. You will have this pressure in the way we dress, the way we talk, the way we behave, in anything. It's constant. It's a fight. It's a war. And that's the main part of your fight. Well, there's another one, because not everybody is going to accept that grace. And that's also very, very interesting. These people who refuse that grace, they will turn against you. Most of the time it's not too tragic. It will be one of these killing smiles, maybe mocking words. And sometimes it will be a blow, and it can go up to martyrdom. That's why you need to be strengthened. That's why you have the word confirmation. Firm means solid. God wants to make you solid. He knows how we are. He said to the apostles, you are like sheep, and I send these sheep against the wolves. And they said, what an idea. How do you want sheep to beat the wolves? Well, if we give enough, if we get enough strength from God, we will. We will. Against any human impression. Because we will go in the strength of God. Now, what happens to us when we are beaten, when we are put down? We think we are defeated, when we are humiliated, when the others rejoice, these enemies of the Catholic Church, of God, when they beat us, persecute us, we think we have lost. Look at the Church today. Down, ravages, ruins. We think we have lost. And it's not true. In a certain way, it's true. Like Jesus did really die on the cross. He did. As such, it looks like a victory for the Romans, for the Jews, for the devil. But you know the reality? You know that precisely that death is the victory of God. Because with this death, He saved us. And so for you, whenever you are put down, you are humiliated, you suffer, and it can be any kind of sufferings. God does not want His children to be losers. Oh no. And He is Almighty. He wants His children to be winners. But not the way the world works. How? How do we turn into victory what appears to the world as a defeat? We turn to Jesus. We offer Him our pain, our weakness. And Jesus takes it, and He comes in us, and He comes in that weakness. And with this, He continues His passion. With this, thanks to our pain, souls are saved. You win. We need a lot of faith to believe that. But it is true. Absolutely true. It's so true that St. Paul will dare to say, it's when I am weak that I am strong. How that? If you're weak, you're weak. And say, when I am weak, I'm strong. Because at that moment, my strength is the strength of God. God gives me His strength. I no longer bend on myself, but on God and His promise to help me. see how full of mysteries our religion is? God wants you to win all the time. But he allows us to go through pain, and we don't like that. But it's the only way, since Adam and Eve have sinned, there must be reparation. We must unite ourselves to the sacrifice of our Lord on the cross. There's no other way. I wish I would be an angel to be able to give you the right words at the right understanding of the marvels God is going to do to you today. Well, every day he does, but today is absolutely exceptional. Well, let's try to use the images which himself has given to us. The church is teaching us that what you receive today is what the apostles received on Pentecost. It's the same third person of the Holy Trinity, the same Holy Ghost, who has not lost anything of his power, who comes to you to do what? Exactly what he did to the apostles. And you remember, he wanted to appear like a tongue of fire on each one. And today, we're not going to see that. And after the ceremony, you cannot try to talk in languages you don't know. Don't dare, because it's not going to work. These elements, they were necessary at the beginning of the church to prove, to show that this church is divine, does not come from man, is not an invention from man. It comes directly from God. That's why God wanted these spectacular things. Now we know it, so we don't need it. But the reality in your heart, yes, that will happen. And I told you, but I repeat it, these marvels, treasures, which God wants to put down into your heart, they are too high for us to measure them. It's only the faith. But nevertheless, God wants us to have a certain understanding. And so if he wanted to appear like a fire, there is a meaning. So let's try to look at fire. Fire first is absolutely real. Nobody has a doubt about that. You will not call fire an imagination. You know the results if you leave your hand in the fire. You know, don't do that. You don't need to do that experiment. Everybody knows what happens. Okay, now try to grab the fire. Try to grab that reality. You have it in front of you. Try. Impossible. Absolutely impossible. Even our Lord said about him, he's like the wind. He blows here, he blows there. Nobody knows. He's above us. There is an interesting law in the creation. We call it gravity or attraction, which makes that whatever, any kind of body falls down to the earth. Now look at the fire. Does the fire go down? No, it goes up. As to say, I'm not going to submit to that law. I am above it. I'm God. I'm almighty. Fire gives light. Now look at that. Let's suppose we are in a dark room. even a match, and whatever other source of light, what's going to happen? The light will expand. The darkness will vanish. Never can darkness oppose light. Never. The light wins all the time. So the Holy Ghost, this divine light, nothing, no darkness, the darkness of the devil, the darkness of sinners, of the world, of death, nothing can oppose him. He wins. He's God. He's almighty. And he wants to bring to us this light of God. He wants to illuminate our faith. It's not only light, it's warm. He wants to give that warmth of charity. Now look at that. Up to now, man has not found any better. If they want to get pure gold, pure silver, than to put it into the fire. And the fire will give to that gold, to that silver, its purity. So imagine the Holy Ghost who wanted to appear like fire. What is he going to do into your heart? He comes to purify it, to make it beautiful, pure for God. Let's go a little bit further. Let's try to see how is it working? What is it doing? The fire? That's amazing. He wants to give himself to whatever he encounters. And without restraint, he wants to give him totally, completely to anything. That's why he's so dangerous. Let's take a stone. Let's put a stone in the fire. Very quickly, the fire will penetrate that stone. And he will give it its warmth, its heat. A little bit later, its color. That stone will be full of fire. And now look at that fire. Or rather, and that stone. I'm not going to invite you to grab it. You better don't. Why? Because all of us, we know that we better don't do that. If we try to grab that stone now, we will be burned. Why? Because now that stone, which is full of fire, has only one idea. And it is to do the job of the fire. That means to give that fire further. Do you know? That's what the Holy Ghost wants from you. He comes into your heart. He's going to pour down in you what he is. And he is the holiness of God. What he wants above all is to give you the holiness of God. He wants to make of you a saint. And how much? it started at baptism. How much more do you receive today? I will use another image, because warmth, and we said it, is also light. At baptism, you have received that holiness enough to be like a full moon. The moon is like a little mirror of the sun. It gives us light, a little bit. You know what he's going to do today, the Holy Ghost, with you? He's going to pour down in you so much of his light that he's going to transform you from a moon into a sun. And I tell you, this image is far from the reality. In heaven, we see the difference between those who are only baptized and those who are confirmed. The word that the church will use today to explain what you receive, the church says that today you will receive a plenitude, which means a fullness of sanctifying grace. The grace sanctifying that makes the saints. You will be full of grace. I have no words to explain that to you. But the church, that's what she teaches us. We could say, okay, with that we have everything we need. No. No, the God wants to give you even more. He gives you today, again, the same proportion, the seven gifts of the Holy Ghost. And we need to understand that too. I told you, he comes today to you because he wants to have a new relation with you. A new relation. And we need to understand that, because your life could be, should be. He who comes for that, transformed. And once again, the only understanding, correct understanding, is God's love, infinite love. When you love, you want the best. You want the best. And God, who is infinite, infinite in perfection, wants the best for his children. I'll give you an example. I give a pen to a little child. I can give the same pen to an artist, to anybody. When I give the pen, I make all of these people capable of drawing. It's equal. If they are very high scientist, if they are a little child, no pen, no drawing. Now the same pen will allow all these people to draw. It's about the same with the virtues which God is giving to you. With that, he makes us able to do things which only God can do. But the result, some do marvels and others do graffitis. That poor kid with the best pen of the world is going to make a graffiti. Yeah, it's a real drawing, but not perfect. Because every time we have the initiative in action, we put ourselves in what we do. And that's why a little child will make a drawing of a little child. It's normal. But God wants more. Something like that. I give the pen to my child and I say, now you make a masterpiece. the most beautiful drawing in the world. Do you know that exactly what God wants? And he said it. Talking about how do we love our neighbor? That is all the people, all kinds of people around us. What did Jesus say? He said this. He said, be perfect. Well, he did not only say be perfect, he said be perfect as your heavenly Father is perfect. That means be perfect as God. You see, I'm not so far when I say make the masterpiece. Now, what appears to us as completely impossible, we have to remember that when God gives an order or a mission, a job, he always provides the means to fulfill it. If he say, I want you to be perfect, he must provide the means. And guess what? It is the sacrament of confirmation. That's why the church, we call that sacrament the sacrament of Christian perfection. Let's have a look at that child and see how we can get that masterpiece. So, the child holds the pen. He's about to make the drawing. At that very moment, a true artist comes by, grabs the hand of the child, and leads this hand, which holds the pen, on the paper. This time, as far as the child follows the slightest movement and nuances of the artist, we will have the masterpiece. And so easy. Sure, it's the work of the artist. Who holds the pen? The little child. The little child did it in the hand of the artist. This artist is the Holy Ghost. And he comes to you today to do that. And that's why he comes to you with seven gifts. Seven is a perfect number. If we look a little bit closely, we see that they cover all human operations. From the highest, when we think of God, when we are enjoying this look into God's perfection, to the lowest things of the day. That will be the fear of the Lord. The highest will be the wisdom. Everything. He wants to cover everything. He wants to grab not just your hand. He wants to grab all what you do, all what you think, all what you desire. And we are free. And we can say no. And he will respect that. It's up to us. If you want this masterpiece to happen, he's there, he's ready. We must say yes. But to help us, he gives us a gift, because the gift will help us to be docile to his movement. So, I could go on and on, but time is running and I've been already long enough. Let's go to the Blessed Virgin Mary, spouse of the Holy Ghost, that she may obtain for all of you, that you receive this sacrament the most worthily possible. Make your heart big, great, with great desires. Invite the Holy Ghost in you. He comes Because he wants to prepare you for heaven. He wants really to make of you a marvel. There is no exception. Each one of you. Nobody can say, he left me aside. Not true. Each one of you who will come to the bishop today, that's what he wants for you. So we'll ask also for another grace for you and for all those who have already received this sacrament, and it is to be faithful, to listen, to follow these inspirations, to fight against all this pressure from the world, that really every day we do not behave like a child of this world, but like a child of God, that we care for that. So that at the end of our life, we may receive what the Father has reserved for his children. The reason why he has created us. He wants to share with us his own beatitude, his own happiness, which is infinitely higher than any human happiness, infinitely higher. That's what he wants to give to us. He wants to share it with him, the Father, with the Son, with the Holy Ghost, forever and ever. Amen. In the name of the Father, the Son, Holy Ghost. Amen.